The reading today is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. The shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears, but righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples of the nation, will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Francis Young. I'm a licensed lay minister here at Christ the Seventh King, and you can always tell that it's the B team when I've been asked to speak. Well, once again, it is the season of Advent. Just waiting for my slides to come up. Brilliant, thank you. It's that part of the year in the run-up to Christmas when we think about the coming of Christ in the past, but also his coming in the future. Now, Christians seem to be a bit divided on this subject of Advent. I don't know whether you've ever encountered the people that I like to call the Advent fundamentalists. Now, these are people who believe that the season of Advent is so important that we shouldn't even hear a mention of the word Christmas until the evening of the 24th of December. Certainly, there should be no Christmas trees, no decorations. The season of Christmas comes on the 25th of December and goes up to the 6th of January, and it does not take place before Christmas. And there are some people who are very, very insistent on this. But clearly, it's pretty hard to maintain this approach when the rest of the world starts celebrating Christmas in late August. But there are also Christians who abandon Advent altogether. I came across a priest recently who argued that the battle for Advent had been lost. There was no longer any place for it, and December is now just all Christmas. Well, in one way, of course, this debate is quite silly, because Advent is obviously about Christmas. Without Christmas, without a coming of Christ to celebrate, how could there be a season of preparation and expectation for it? But the point of Advent is that it does two things. It looks forward, prepares us for the celebration of Christmas, but it also calls on us to prepare for a future coming of Jesus as well. Now, I am no Advent purist. I have to confess, my tree went up before the 1st of December this year, and my tree is going to stay up until the 2nd of February. I like to get my money's worth. And I have no problem with the idea of Advent as a season of celebration. But I also think that the celebration can and should be tinged with reflection on something pretty serious. If Jesus Christ will return one day, will he find us ready? Will he find that we have been obedient to his way and to his word? Now, one of the reasons why I love the Advent season is that there's a strong focus on the prophets of the Old Testament. Ah, here he is. And especially on Isaiah. The prophets, of course, were awaiting the first coming of Jesus, in much the same way as we now are awaiting the second. But their prophecies often speak about both of those events together. Because prophecy in the Bible is not so much about chronology, it's not about forecasting the future, it's about speaking the truth, communicating God's truth without really any idea of much of a chronological framework. And the first 10 verses of Isaiah 11, which we heard as our reading this morning, are a case in point. Well, clearly some of the prophecy refers to the birth of Jesus. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Well, Jesse was the father of David. So the prophecy concerns a leader who will come from David's line. Whenever you get a reference to Jesse, it's usually a reference not so much to Jesse himself, but to the dynasty that he produced. David, the kings of Israel and Judah who come after David, and then those hidden descendants of David who go down through the ages. And Jesus is descended from David through his mother Mary. His foster father Joseph is also descended from David, as it happens. And if you don't believe me, then if you can bear it, read the long genealogy at the start of Matthew's gospel. However, a lot of Isaiah's prophecy is about a future that has yet to happen. It is about the reign of Christ as King of the universe after his return in glory. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is not the Jesus of the Gospels. This Jesus is glorified and has returned to assume the throne he won by offering himself on the cross. Jesus is already victorious, but on that day he will return to claim his victory. Now, we don't know very much about Jesus' second coming. We certainly do not know when it will happen. But we do know that Jesus will return in glory and that he will return as judge. Now, you may remember that King Herod feared the first coming of Jesus. He was a tyrant. How much more, I wonder, should the tyrants of this age, the oppressors who set themselves up, or who set some ideology up to take the place of God? How much should they be fearing Christ's return? Isaiah tells us that the returning Messiah will vindicate the poor of the earth. So those who grow wealthy from exploiting the poor should be afraid. Jesus will cut through the economic jargon and the excuses. Against those who have hoarded wealth gained on the backs of the poor, he will take the side of the poor and pronounce judgment against the worshippers of money. And for those who base their lives on treating their fellow human beings as less than human, the oppressors, the exploiters, the mongers of hatred, the weavers of lies, we know that judgment awaits. We don't know when, but that judgment is coming. But there's another side to judgment. We do not need to fear Jesus unless we fall into one of those previous categories. Because even when Jesus returns as judge, Jesus is already on our side. Jesus is returning to inaugurate his reign of peace. As Isaiah prophesied, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, for those who know, for those who recognize who Jesus is, for those who are human enough to recognize their Savior when he comes, there will be a new and transformed existence in God's fully realized kingdom. This is the promise that awaits us, that we will one day know him as he knows us. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Instead of the banners that divide us, the markers of identity and difference that we have soaked in blood for centuries, a day will come when there is only one banner to unite all peoples, Jesus Christ. His reign has already begun. His kingdom is already here in his church. Our call as members of that church and of his body is to live out the kingdom of God within a world that has not yet realized that God's kingdom is already here. We are the pioneers. We are the representatives. We are the heralds and priests of a kingdom that is already here, already established, already has authority, but it is hidden from those who do not yet know Christ. So why would we not do everything that we can to make Jesus known to the world before his return in glory is evident to all? So as we prepare for Christmas, let's also spare a thought for preparing for a much greater celebration, the return of Jesus Christ as judge, but also the return of Jesus Christ as our vindicator. Amen. Please do now stand if you're able, as we're going to join in another period of sung worship, as we sing of how Jesus Christ is mighty to save.